Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you and worship you for the mighty things that you do. I thank you for the faith that you give us. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for forgiving all of our sins, healing all of our diseases, and making us whole and giving us all these great and mighty promises in your word. Now, as we talk about these promises today, I ask you to reveal to us the truth of the mighty word of the living God in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 17, and I'm going to show you what happens when a man has a son that has a devil in him, and what happens whenever he brings him to people that don't have enough faith. And that's what usually happens when they bring them to most Christians and most pastors. I mean, there's even things that, in fact, there's things I don't even have faith for yet, but I'm working on it. Now, I want you to see what happens here in Matthew 17:15. He says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. This is kind of a seizure of some kind. And he says, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Now then, Jesus was not too nice to these boys. Jesus answered them and said, oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And look what Jesus did. Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. What was wrong with the boy? A devil. That's what's wrong with us. Whenever things come upon us and begin to torment us or cause us to do these things, like this little guy, he was really vexed with a devil. And it threw him into the fire and into the water and all kinds of things to kill him. Well, it wasn't the boy. It was a devil. Because Jesus, in Matthew 17:18, he rebuked the devil or the demon, and the devil or the demon departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then, let's see what the disciples did. After they saw Jesus do this, then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, that's our problem, unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Now, wait a minute. What is this? When people say, you don't have any faith. You make me feel bad when you tell me I don't have any faith. Okay? Let's let Jesus tell you that then. That's what he's told me many a time. In Matthew 17:20, he says, If you have faith, as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, as children of the King, sons and daughters of God, how much power has he given us? All. What can we do? Nothing shall be impossible with us. He didn't cut us short. He left us with everything. But who are we fighting against? We're fighting against the devil. We're not fighting against God. We're fighting against the devil. Because right here, the disciples had asked him this question, and he says, now this kind of unbelief, or this kind of demon, whichever one he's talking about here, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now then, if you're having trouble getting things done, when is the last time you prayed diligently and fasted and sought God in his word? If you say, well, I've never done that, well, then that's your problem. I had met that criteria once myself, where I didn't pray and I didn't fast and I didn't study and I didn't believe, so I didn't see God do anything either. But when I began to spend hundreds of hours studying this book, I mean 5, 10, 15 hours every week. In other words, my wife says we're in a 24/7 Bible study. Well, not quite, but we're almost. We're talking about the Word of God, praying the Word of God, talking about it virtually night and day. Because Jesus said, by prayer and fasting. And so, if we were to pray and fast more, we would absolutely be able to see the King do great and mighty things. So if you haven't prayed and fasted in a while, you need to start praying and you need to start fasting. If you've never done this, well, then start off, number one, with, say, a three-day fast. If you've never done a fast, begin to speak to your body and tell your body, body, I'm going to stop eating food next Wednesday. And I'm not going to eat anything all day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to take a three-day fast, and I'm going to have 3 days, and I'm going to spend time with God. Now then, if you're a man or woman that works during the week, then it might be better if you did this over a weekend, because you need to not only fast or go without food, at the same time you need to be praying and seeking God, reading His Word. So the best thing might be to do would Friday afternoon, when you get off work, say eat at noon on Friday, and then come home Friday afternoon at 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever time you get off, and then start reading the Word. Kind of lock yourself up with the Word of God. Don't go out and eat on Friday afternoon. Take a time, and if you and your wife, if you're a married man and woman, if you can do this together, it will bring great results. Spend time just quiet before God, reading the Word, studying and praying, talking to the Lord. Friday night, you know, study and read up till midnight or something, and then go to bed. Rest, get up in the morning, 8 or 9 o'clock, if you've had a good night's sleep, and all day read the Word. Get up, nothing to eat, only water to drink. Don't get up thinking about you need something to eat. Just all day Saturday, spend time in the Word, praying, fasting, talking to God, reading His Word. And then do it all day Sunday. And by Sunday afternoon at noon, you've got 2 days under your belt. And then go all the way till at least Monday morning. Go and read the Word Sunday evening. And then when you go to bed, wake up Monday morning. And maybe before you go to work, have something to eat or wait until noon. And eat at noon on Monday. And that will give you a three-day fast. And you will begin to get an idea of what it is to go 3 days without food, only with water. And you can do it. Be sure and ask the Lord to direct you in this as you do this, so you will be able to do this free of any hunger pains. And if you'll ask the Lord, I've done this many times, I always ask the Lord to keep me from being hungry, because I'm going to fast and pray to study the Word of God. And He will do it. He will keep you from having those hunger pains. And you can just go without food or water. It's amazing how long you can go without food or water and still work. Now, the longest I've ever went without food or water and carried a normal job and worked every day, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, right on through, preached on Sunday and taught Bible studies on nights, 2 nights a week and all kinds of things, and then go do things and go visit people, go to hospitals and everything else during the day and do all the things. The longest I've ever went is 18 and a half days. But at the end of 18 and a half days, you know, you're beginning to get kind of weak as a rule. And some people get a lot weaker than others. Some people are still fairly strong, but you can go, you know, you can go 40 days and not have to eat, but you do have to drink water. But I don't think that anybody can carry a normal full-time schedule and go to work and everything and still do that for 40 days. If you can, you're a whole lot better man than I am. But I don't think God requires you to do that. I think if you were going to go on a 40-day fast, I think that He would want you just to be at home praying and praising Him and reading and studying His Word. Now, I do know that you can go 2 full weeks, no problem. I have went that easy a few times, 2 weeks, 14 days, 12, 14 days, and carry a normal schedule and, you know, go ahead and work normal and everything and have absolutely no problems doing that. But the best thing to do is, if you're going to pray and fast, try to find a time when you're not working. That's when you can have the most results. That's when you can seek God and see Him do great and mighty things. So do what the Lord says. Remember, He says, if you have faith and doubt not, you can do all these wonderful things. Now I want to take you over to 1 John 4, and I want to read something to you out of 1 John 4. Starting at verse 15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." So if we confess Jesus is our Lord, then he's in us, and God dwelleth in us, and we're in God. And verse 16 says that we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And verse 17, listen to this. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Now, think about that, what that's saying right there. It's really quite awesome to think that in verse 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, if we are like him in this world, then we ought to be doing the same things Jesus was doing, because it's not you doing it, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's doing these things. So when you and I get a hold of the fact that Christ is in us, that we are technically little Jesuses. Now, I know some people don't like that term, but according to the Word of God, that's true. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you are a form of Jesus because Jesus is in you. So when you go and you speak his promises in his name and you do them in faith, you will see the Lord do great and mighty things in your life and in the lives of other people. Now then, you will be able to do the same things that Jesus did. You will be able to go and, since he's in you, you'll be able to speak his name. You'll be able to lay hands on people. You'll be able to rebuke devils over people. You'll be able to break the power of the devil in a person's life. You'll be able to take people that their eyes are blinded by the god of this world, that cannot get saved, that will not want nothing to do with Jesus. You will be able to take the word of God, and you'll be able to break the power of the devil in those people's lives. You'll be able to ask the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Spirit to convict those people of sin and draw them into the kingdom. And you will see those people come into the kingdom of God, get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered. You will see God do great and mighty things. And life becomes so much fun when you learn you have been given all power by the King. Now then, we come to the end of another day. I ask you to give us a call for free audio and video and CDs. We'll be happy to send them to you. Free and postpaid. We'll send you a packet of our teaching and trust that the Lord will bless you with it. And the phone number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can get to us. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Today, let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I praise you and thank you and worship you for this magnificent book we call the Word of God. Thank you, Father, that we have this book. We have it to look at and to believe. Lord, help us to believe the promises in this book. This book is so awesome and so mighty, and these promises are so awesome. Father, reveal to us today by the Holy Spirit the truth of this mighty word, so we may believe this book and act on this book, so we can see you do the great and mighty things that you promised to do through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, today I'm going to take you to a set of scriptures in John 14, 12, 13, and 14. In these three verses, there is such unlimited power that we, the church, just don't believe these things will work for us. And, of course, that's why they don't work for us. I want you to hear what the Lord had to say here. I'm going to start out here in John, in the King James, in John 14:12, and Jesus said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Now, that's the kicker right there. He that believeth on me. And I mean the one that really believes on Jesus. You can't just believe a little bit. You got to believe with all your heart. He says, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." And let me quote that to you out of the Living Bible. Jesus said, "In solemn truth I tell you, anyone believing in me shall do the same miracles I have done, and even greater ones, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask the Father for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, think about that. When you think about these promises, in fact, he gave it to us in a double back-to-back there. After John 14:12, Jesus said, "I say unto you, he that believeth." In other words, he that believeth. That's the secret. You got to believe. And when he makes that statement, "He that believeth the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Then he says, "So if you love me, keep my commandments." What are his commandments? Walk in love. And he said, "If you will keep my commandments," then he says, "and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you will see me, because I live, yet shall you shall live also." Now, if we stop and think about those awesome promises right there, I couldn't even tell you how many miracles I've seen from quoting John 14:13-14. But I have quoted those promises. That is a blank check. Jesus said in John 14:12, "to them that believe." Well, ladies and gentlemen, why don't we start believing the King? I mean, when we speak in the name of Jesus, I took those two verses in John 14:13-14 here a few years ago, and my little granddaughter had been in a car wreck. In fact, her skull was crushed in five places. Her brain stem was severed. Her eyes were disconnected from her brain. I mean, she was in extremely bad shape. Extremely bad shape. Her face had hit the seat in front of her at a closure speed of 140 miles an hour. Both vehicles driving 70 miles an hour. And her face, she hit that seat in front of her when her seatbelt was cut and throwed her into that thing, and it crushed her skull in five places. It busted her face all to pieces. When I got to the hospital, her face was bleeding. Her blood was running out her eyes, her ears, her nose, her mouth. Every opening in her head was bleeding. I mean, it was awful what she looked like. And then when the doctor told me the brain stem was severed and the eyes were disconnected from the brain, and he said, "There's no way she can live." He said, "Whenever she hit that seat in front of her at such a force, the brain came forward and hit in the cavity of the skull and just jerked everything loose in the back. And then when the cars bounced back, it slammed the brain toward the back of the skull, and it jerked the eyes and everything else loose." So he said, "There's virtually nothing attached to her brain." And he said, "You know, it's over for her. She's going to die." I said, "Oh, no. Not with promises like John 14:13. Not with promises like John 15:7. John 15:7. These are just blank checks the King has given us. The problem is, we just don't believe these things. Now, if we go to these mighty promises, Like, for instance, if we go to John 14, 13, which we just quoted, and then we go on down to John 15, 7. John 15, 7 makes a statement like this. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, let me tell you, that is a blank check to the body of Christ. Jesus is telling us as his children what we can do, what we're supposed to be able to do, but the majority of us do not believe these mighty promises. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." And then he goes on in verse 8, says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So continue in my love." Now, "if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, he says, keep my commandments. Well, what is it? "This is my commandment." Verse 12. "This is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." In other words, keep his commandments. Walk in love. "This is my commandment." Somebody will say, "Well, what is a commandment of God?" Well, here it is in John 15, 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And verse 13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." Just think, the Lord has made us a blank check. I mean, absolutely, he has given us a blank check. But he didn't just give it to us in one place. He gave it to us in many places. But for these great and awesome promises to work for you and me, we have to do what he says, and we have to keep his commandments. Now, if we keep his commandments and walk in love, he has literally given us the power to bind and to loose on this earth. He says, anything that we bind on earth should be bound in heaven, and anything that we loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. He has literally given us a blank check to bind and loose. Do we have the power to bind evil spirits? Yes, we do. Now then, do we have the power to bind the devil? No. I don't believe there's a precedent anywhere in the Bible where we can bind the devil. Because the devil, he's the head of this whole operation, but we can command his demons to leave and get out of our life. We can bind their power over us and cause them to leave us. In other words, you have been given all power and all authority on the earth. Jesus, whenever he cast the devil, Satan himself, out of heaven, years and years ago, because in 2,000 years ago, Jesus made a statement in Luke 10:18. He said, "And I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, if he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, he was there and he cast him out. That's how he saw him fall. Well, the next verse after Luke 10:18, Jesus turns to you and me, says, "Behold, I give unto you authority to trample or to tread on the serpent," which is Satan, "and his scorpions," or his demons. He said, "All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that the evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather be thankful that your names are written in heaven." Right there, we have the power to drive out evil spirits. We have the power to break the power of the enemy over our loved ones, that are, their minds are being blinded by the god of this world, which is Satan. We can kick these devils out. We can command these things to get their hands off our loved ones. Just like in earlier, while we were talking over there in the book of Acts, where Paul, this woman, had a spirit of divination. And he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to come out of her. And that evil spirit came out. Now, if you have something or someone in your life that is being tormented by the devil, that's being depressed, or sickness and disease, or they've got a spur in their foot. In fact, I had a lady the other night that she said, do you believe everything's a demon? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I've got a spur in my foot, and you can't tell me that spur is a demon. She said, I will never believe it. I said, woman, you want to be healed? She said, well, of course. I grabbed her by the arms right quick. I said, you devil of hell, come out of her foot in the name of Jesus. I said, now, ma'am, stomp your foot. He's gone and you're healed. Jesus Christ has healed you. And she said, that can't be true. And she picked up her foot and started stomping. And she said, my goodness gracious, it's gone. But she said, I got a pad in my shoe. Let me take my shoe off. She took her shoe off and stomped on the floor. And she said, you're right, it's gone. I said, of course it's gone. It's just a devil. I said, you have power and authority over them devils, them demons, in the name of Jesus. I said, start doing something in faith. Jesus told us that to them that believe, and I said, I'm a believing believer. He said, we can cast out devils and heal the sick. I said, praise God for the power of God behind His Word. We invite you to give us a call. We've got all kinds of audio and video and CDs on these teachings on these subjects. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can request tapes or you can listen to these teachings again. They're on the website. Have a blessed day and remember, Jesus is Lord.